Hey, all you holistic hipsters out there, it's that time. So grab your chalice of choice and sit back and sip along with us. We would love to welcome you to the Tea Podcast, where we spill the tea on all things holistic in the pet grooming industry. Let me introduce you to our hostesses with the mostesses.
She is a socialite of skin and coat care, Ms. Michelle Knowles.
And the queen bee of all things oily, Ms. Melissa Conti-Diener. Brought to you by TheOilyGroomer.com. Are you searching for a new and more mindful way of grooming? Interested in understanding how to grow your grooming business with a more holistic and organic approach? Please contact Melissa Conti-Diener at TheOilyGroomer.com so that you can set up a meeting and bring balance and prosperity to your life. And AllThingsPaw.com. Intermediate and advanced courses in pet esthetician work, fear recovery, animal handling, and more. Get your learn on with All Things Paw. Also, classes with Melissa, online and self-guided, intuitive energy work, transitional therapy, and compassionate touchpoint therapy, and more. And the Herbal Paw Pet Apothecary. Tailored for the individual pet, phone consultations, history gathering, and the home of the Herbal First Aid Kit.
Now, let's get the tea party started.
Yay! We're back!
We're back!
We are back!
The time's a charm, right?
No doubt. Woo! We made it. We made it again. Here we are.
Mondays just aren't easy.
Oh, shoot.
Darn those.
Woo! So what you got going on there, Melissa?
My teacup is the antithesis of plain hot water and lemon.
So, love that. Love it. Yes,
we're just nurturing a more acidic environment to quell some of the
demons.
Yeah,
you're getting the demons out.
those candida demons have made my body a stomping ground. So I'm combating them with the best thing out there. The lovely lemon will give them a little jolt.
Perfect.
Take a little sweetness out of their sugar. That's for sure.
Got a lot of sugar in your shorts, Melissa.
Yeah, too much. So we're definitely doing hot water and lemon. What you got going on there, Michelle?
I'm still on the cucumber tea,
nice.
Water and cucumber. Here, let me turn this around. It's supposed to just be the big M.
Oh, your big M, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I got going on.
Easy. I don't know about you, but if I drink cucumber water, it makes me feel fancy, like I'm at a fancy spa.
I'm fancy.
I know.
And you're fancy too. After you're done with your lemon, just switch over to cucumber because it's good for you too.
Exactly. Well, I did buy those little teensy weensy. I love them. They're about this big and they're called cukes. And Trader Joe's has them and they're little tiny cucumbers.
Oh, the teenies?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like the Persian ones too because they're small.
Well, they actually taste like a Persian cucumber.
Yeah, and they're tender. Yeah.
Yeah. So I do have those in there, and I will just usually cut them up with a little Celtic sea salt, which I am using, and a little cracked pepper, and a drizzle of olive oil. And boy, are they tasty, refreshing.
They are. You could really use any, like a vinegar and oil, light vinaigrette.
Right.
Soak them in. They're just lovely like that. I work with the big old English cucumbers that come in the big plastic packaging.
Right.
So I like the taste of those and the texture, and the skin is really thin and crunchy.
I actually prefer the pickling cucumbers.
Do you?
Yep. They're just, I don't know. I like the crunch. But I usually wind up wasting those. So I get the itty bitties and they serve me a little bit better. So
fair.
So what is your cucumber for? Is it your cucumber tea for hydration? Is that what you're?
Yeah, I just wanted something light.
Yeah.
It's not anything in particular, although it's very good for your blood pressure. Right. It's good for your kidneys. It's good for a lot of things. And it has a lot of nutrients in it. But yeah, just it's something light and it just switches it up. You know, if you drink tea all the time, sometimes you just want something light. And I don't like just plain water.
Right.
That's hard for me to drink. If it just has to have a little hint of something in it.
Yeah.
And then it's a lot easier for me to get my water intake that I need.
So I have another question for you. Is a cucumber a fruit or a vegetable?
I probably it classifies as a fruit. It's like a weird tomato.
Yeah. I
think it's probably a fruit rather than a vegetable. It might be a berry.
I wonder.
I don't know. Let's find out.
I was going to say. Google it.
Yeah, we have the knowledge of the universe in our fingertips.
Yes, we have the technology. I always think it's an overlooked edible, since we don't know if it's a fruit or a vegetable yet. But I always think it's kind of overlooked. Everybody always thinks it's just for a salad. Like it has to be eaten in a salad.
No. I eat them like for snacks.
Yeah.
So, botanically, they are a fruit.
Are they a fruit? Okay. Yeah.
Because cucumbers have seeds in the middle and grow from the flower of a cucumber plant. They're botanically a fruit.
Nice. Okay. Well, good to know. I'm glad I know that now.
Right.
I remember being a kid and having cucumber sandwiches with cream cheese on Wonder Bread.
Those are very dainty. Yes.
Yes. Mm. On Wonder Bread. Yep. So what's our topic today, Madame?
So we are where we explore holistic, everything holistic in the grooming industry. Today, we're actually talking about holistic.
Oh, imagine that.
Bam.
Yeah, there you go. So first of all, we should probably premise this by saying holistic means that you follow the premise of holism. Or the theory of holism, W-H-O-L-E. And that means that we are considering the whole entire animal as well as the point of view from the animal's point of view, as well as the whole environment that you are practicing in.
Mm-hmm.
So not only are we thinking about the entire dog, body, mind, spirit, the environment that we're working in, but we're also considering ourselves, body, mind, spirit, and how we are creating a holistic environment.
Mm-hmm. And here's two more definitions. Holistic means encompassing the whole of a thing and not just the part.
Right.
Holistic medicine looks at the whole person for answers, not just a physical symptom. You might have heard of holistic medicine, which tries to treat someone as mind and body instead of treating only the part of the patient that is most sick. And up here under medicine, it says, characterized by the treatment of the whole person, taking into account mental and social factors rather than just the symptoms of an illness. So there is no holistic shampoo.
Right.
Or it is a method. It's a methodology. You take into account
and a philosophy,
right? You're not just saying, oh, okay, the dog needs a haircut. Let's get him in the bath. You're saying, oh, the dog needs a haircut. Well, what breed is he?
Right.
How is his home life? What is he getting to eat? What is his demeanor? You know, is this easy for him to do to go through the process away from his people? Or is it very difficult? Is he aggressive or is he afraid? There's so many things that go into that.
Right.
So we're going to address mind, body, spirit, products, and atmosphere.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So when we look at the mind holistically of the dogs that we groom, we're looking for the thought process of the canine itself. How do dogs think? What makes them tick? What are they like hardwired for in a social setting like a grooming salon? So we want to think about the demeanor of a dog. What is it hardwired to do? What breed is it? So does it have any other extra traits that we have to look out for? Like if we're doing a corgi, he may try to herd people or herd other dogs during his grooming process. And they become kind of aggressive because they're kind of a Billy badass.
Yeah, they are.
And that's how they are. So we want to know the processes of a dog. So that's important to take some classes, some psychology of dog classes to find out what makes them tick.
Well, I think that that's a huge part of what we do is to be able to look at it from a from several different angles and not just approach it as just a simple haircut.
Right.
So I think that, that has to be something that we are open to working in those kind of parameters. I tell my students all the time, well, we basically want to expand our mind on how we are thinking about being mindful of what we're doing, how we're doing it, when we're doing it, and also understanding that that animal on our table, whether you're doing a, you know, a dog, a cat, a rat, a bird, whatever you're working with, has a language, and it will try to communicate with you throughout this process, and that we need to be open to being able to understand what they're what they're trying to tell us. When we're hyper focused on the haircut and the aesthetics of it, a lot of times the rest of the stuff goes out the window.
And then we don't understand why they're not having a good time or whether they're not letting us do our job, quote unquote.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's not easy. It's not easy to be a work in a holistic way. It's not easy to create a more holistic environment. Let's start with that. Let's look at the practice itself and then go from there. But when you're setting up your practice, even if you don't own your grooming salon or mobile unit or whatever, you can still work holistically. So when you are setting up things, look at how this would, this environment would look and feel and smell to the animal that you're working with. So if you know you have dogs on your schedule, how is a dog going to interpret this? Even just people don't even think about like the music that they have playing in the salon or in
the Oh my God, that's so huge. That is so huge. A lot of people like to listen to rock and roll or, you know, something fast paced or this, that, and the other. A lot of dogs can't take that. And we're unaware, a lot of us are unaware that that really does affect the dog. Their hearing is so much better than ours. So we don't know what that sounds like to them.
Yeah.
It is said that in the human world, 60% of our communication is nonverbal. And when a dog, it's like 95% nonverbal because they do not really speak. So it's all eyebrows, movement of the body, the way the head tilts, the tail tells you a lot. And then you have a guttural language of dog that you have to interpret. But a lot of the things that they, before they even voice anything, they're telling you plain as day with their body language.
The way
the way they hold their tongue, the way they hold their ear set, all that kind of stuff.
Sorry, my phone's being insane. Yeah, if we're not looking at any of those things, if we're just going in and being like, okay, I'm just going to get my clipper out and I have a rusty old blade on it and I'm using my clipper and it's all...
What's that sound?
I mean, you know, you know that you're like, you flip that on and you know when your clipper is loud, but you know when you have a crack blade on there that just needs to be cleaned and oiled and and it's just so loud.
And it sounds like what?
That's an actual that is an actual depiction. Oops, sorry, my critical diagnosis alarm is also going off at the same time.
Oh shoot.
But you know when you're doing that and you're like, oh, you pop it on and you're like, oh crap, You know, it's mm-hmm. loud. But we get into those comfort zones where we're just in the, let's just knock this out. Let's just do mm-hmm. this assembly line kind of attitude.
Or hurry up and get it in the bath or whatever.
Yep.
Just like the, a friend of mine, a colleague of mine from a long time ago, the difference between an American tourist and any other tourist, she went to Paris, and she's from the East Coast. So she's crusty like a New Yorker, like you would expect a New Yorker to be. And that's not an insult. That's just right. We all know how they are, and they know how they are, and they're okay with that. But she was just like, hey, which way to the Eiffel Tower? She asked somebody. Well, that's kind of rude in a European country. You greet them first. Say, how are you? Hello. Oh, right. You know, may I have instructions to the Eiffel Tower? Right. So she said, yeah, I need instructions to the Eiffel Tower. And to her, that was just normal. That was part of her right. culture. To the other lady, though, it was insult. And she went, bonjour, like, hello. Let's. Right. At least attempt to be my friend first before you demand something of me. We all think that, not we all, some of us think that the groom starts once you get the dog on the table or in the tub. For the dog, it starts when they get in the car to come to the grooming salon. That's when it starts for them. So all the communication that they're building up in the car ride, some of them don't even like to be in the car. So then they end up at the groom salon. And they're walking up and they smell all the other dogs, that's when it starts for them. So being aware of that, make your greeting, make the culture of your greeting very friendly. So when the dog walks through the door, that's when you want to pay attention to the dog. You know, and you have to absolutely either greet the dog. Yeah, greet the owner or greet the dog in such a way that the dog feels like this is a friendly place to be.
Right. Safe place.
Yeah.
Safe place. Yeah.
So that's when you start. That's when you start moving your body correctly, interpreting the dog's body language correctly as you can, and greeting the owner in such a way that you're on the same team.
So start becoming a conscientious observer of yes. your workplace. And so if you work by yourself, start really stepping out of yourself and listening to the words that you're using when you're greeting your clients and greeting the pet. If you work with a multitude of other people and mm-hmm. so start stepping back and pay, because most of the time we don't pay attention. We only pay attention to what we have to do. We're mm-hmm. not listening to anyone else, but go out and then come into that salon environment with a different set of eyes and ears and mm-hmm. even nose. I know we occasionally will have those little little melt-away, waxy, smelly things up front. Mm-hmm. And they had changed them the other day. And I came up front. And, I mean, I'm an aromatherapist, so I love smelly stuff. And I was standing up there for a few moments waiting for a client to come in. And I was like, holy cow, that's giving me a headache.
Was it really strong?
It was so, like, it was almost like a black cherry, fruity. But it had, like, that chemically medicinal
you hit a wall of it.
Yeah. It's like, man, and I mean, and I am easily nose blinded, you know, because I smell so many different things. And it's like it was bugging me. So I asked them if they would please just unplug it for a little while and let the smell dissipate. Mm-hmm. Because a couple of the other groomers said the same thing. Yeah, that's so strong. And so if we feel like that, just imagine what it is for that pet, or
it'd
even
be like
that,
an onslaught.
Yeah. Or even that sensitive customer walking mm-hmm. in, you know, so we
agreed.
Always have to consider, you know, the noise volume,
mm-hmm. The noise and the smell
and
the demeanor of the people who are greeting the dog. You have to imagine if you had, or have been around or know of a very young nonverbal autistic child, that's kind of where dogs fall. You know right. what I mean? If you want to think of it that way, if you have to put it in human terms, just because they can't speak to you doesn't mean they're not saying anything.
Exactly.
So you have to be the one that's responsive and responsible for trying to read their language, at least greeting them, because in their culture, they greet each other like in Paris and not right. like on the East Coast, where a big F you is the greeting. So, you know, just think of it that way.
Yeah, it's important that we just start to break it down into like the segments of the time that you're spending with that animal. I always instruct my students as a massage therapist and as a canine massage therapist, I always will always reach out and touch the dog. I'll greet the owner first, and then I will say the dog's name, whether or not I'm greeting the owner and saying, is this Fluffy? You know, or, you know, do we have Fluffy here today? Or unless you already know the pet, and then you can go ahead and say, hi, Buster, how are you today? Or whatever. But I always acknowledge them. I was taught by a trainer at one point that was like, never acknowledge a dog. Don't look at it. Don't make eye contact, you know, especially if it's afraid or whatever. But
well, there are certain places where you would do that. But in general, no.
No.
Especially if you're developing a relationship with that dog.
Right. Yeah. So I think it's important that we approach it and we don't use baby language. That is, especially you see a dog that comes in that's extremely already hyperactive and its energy level is already up here and mom and dad are trying to hold on to that flexi lead, you know, and the dog's jumping and going all over the place. And then we come up front and we're all, hi, how are you? Oh, you're so cute. Oh my God. Da, da, da. That just elevates it even more. And then
they're just like,
and then you're going to try to control that on the table.
Right.
So present in a way that you are going to try to draw them in to that energetic, that frequency. So that if the dog is all the way up here, you want to come in down here and hi, Buster, how are you today? Mm-hmm. And very, you know, almost monotone, you know, and pull things down because we don't want to be grooming a dog that's in the stratosphere.
That's
so
true.
You know, think about those things. Think about not only smell, but the sounds, you know, the music in the background, or even just the chatter. We tend, especially in salon environments, we tend to get chatty. It's a way for us to release energy and to feel comfortable. And so when we are in the throes of, laughing and talking, you know, with each other in proximity, we've lost the focus from the dog.
Absolutely.
And we've shifted to something else. And so
you are literally the dog's lifeline to a comfortable position in that salon. They're going to look to someone for authority so they can feel safe. And that authority has to be you. You're their guiding light through the whole process until they go home. They're going to depend on you to make sure they're safe, they're comfortable, they're not being hurt. All the things.
Yeah. I always teach them to use their non-dominant hand. That's where I was going with the thought about being a massage therapist, canine massage therapist, is to use their non-dominant hand, which we refer to as the mother hand. And I explain to my students to plug into that animal. So even while you're talking to that owner, pet that animal with your non-dominant hand. Just start. You don't have to be petting it and talking to it. You just want to be either they're the plug and you are the port or vice versa. And you'll know.
I never thought about it that way. I think that's something I just do intuitively. But when you use your dominant hand, that's a lot of force. All your energy is coming out of there. Really forcefully. And this is a weaker trickle of your energy or your electricity.
And that's why I call it the mother hand. You know, the more nurturing, it's a little bit, it's not dominant. We don't want to, we don't want, at least I don't, and I don't teach dominant grooming. I never want to break that animal spirit. I know I was taught that way, to dominate that animal and be, you know, like lord yourself over that animal. I've had much greater success with being less dominant and trying to be more on what is this, trying to decipher what this animal is trying to tell me. And there are times that you do have to be a little more dominant and you do have to say, you know, I've never cut anybody's toes off with the toenails. So we're going to get this done.
Right.
But overall, I'm not going in as, boom, you know, this heavy energy.
Leaders are there to lead and nurture, not to punish.
Punish, right.
There's a huge difference. Discipline is to teach, not to punish.
Right.
So if the aim is to make the dog afraid of you, sure, go ahead and yell at it and throw stuff around and make sharp noises and don't pay attention to what it's trying to tell you. That would be a horrible way. If I went to a hairdresser that made me feel that way, I would get up off the chair and walk out the door.
Imagine getting your hair cut and you decide to get the underneath of your long locks buzzed up so that when you pull your hair up, you know, you could see that cool little shave spot, and they turn on the clipper and it's making a noise that sounds like a, you know, 56 DeSoto. And
wow.
Yeah, you know, wow. You're like, what the hell? So, I mean, as a human, you would be second guessing that. You'd be like, what are you trying to do to me? And we know what that tool does. We know. So here's an animal that has no clue what that is going to do. And so when your tools are not even cared for properly, and then we try to use them, you're trying to scissor with scissors that are not well taken care of or well sharpened. They're going to bend the hair. They're not going to give you the haircut, which in turn is going to create frustration for you, which in turn creates frustration for the dog because they don't understand what we're frustrated with.
And that really travels all the way to back to the bathtub as well.
Yeah.
A lot of people like a high pressure hose to get down to the skin.
Yeah.
You don't need high pressure. You need water volume, not pressure. I did a seminar in someone else's shop, and you know who you are. I'm not going to call you out. She had a pressurized hose, a thing that she put over her faucet. One moment. We'll have... Okay. We had to pause for just a moment, but we are back.
Better than ever.
Better than ever.
There you go.
All right, let's move on. So
we were talking about in the bathtub with very high pressure water. You don't need all that.
Right. We were talking about the lady that I did a thing in her salon. The water was so pressurized. I'm like, how can this even be spa?
They have to feel like they're being blasted. I mean,
it was horrible. You could have cut gemstones with this water. It was so high power. I'm like, oh, this is so relaxing. We laughed about it the entire time. I think that I did express that you want water volume and not pressure. Right. Like, you want pressure. You don't want to just be peeing on the dog or whatever. A lot of water will get down to the skin, especially with the help of surfactant. So.
And a little elbow grease.
Our next piece is body. Because if you're thinking mind, body, spirit, let's talk about body. I cannot tell you enough how important it is to know your anatomy and the limits of the movement of the particular animal that you're working with. Now, I do believe that Facebook, I think Scott Wasserman had advertised it. I don't know if it's his class or he was advertising it for somebody else, but I know somebody has made an anatomy or a movement class that I think someone should really look into. Knowing your anatomy is that important. If you know how the dog is supposed to move in theory, and then of course there's going to be variations because we're all different individuals. But we will absolutely know better what the limits of the movement are of the legs, pulling out the legs, sideways even, how that body is going to move so we can decide what techniques we're going to use to get the job done. So anatomy is very important, and it's just one piece of the entire holistic practice.
Well, I just never understood why we were never taught anatomy. Mm. Now, coming from a show background, it's intrinsic to understanding your dog that you're showing. So you need to know the anatomy, and then you also need to know how that anatomy creates the movement that you're looking for within the show ring. For confirmation. Mm-hmm. And then if it is a dog that is actually groomed for confirmation, and I mean like given an actual haircut, not that dogs that, you know, say like a Boston Terrier, you're not, you know, looking at those things, that dog is not needing the extensive grooming that, say, a Bedlington Terrier is, or, you know.
To complement the actual anatomy.
Yeah, right.
The angulation of the actual dog.
Right, or, you know, a poodle, any of those breeds. So understanding the anatomy, understanding that when you're looking, even if you're looking at a doodle, you know those two breeds. It's a Labradoodle, so you know it's a Labrador and a poodle. Then you would know, okay, the way that the rib cage sets in this dog is more like a lab than it is a poodle. Or, but if you don't understand anatomy at all, or if you've not ever had any training in anatomy, it's important because our hands are all over that animal's body. Mm-hmm. So more than just confirmation, more than just aesthetics, we are putting our hands over that body and we should know that this doesn't feel right.
You shouldn't overly strain them. At the very least, know the anatomy and how the shoulder is put together, how the hips are put together.
Understand
the movement of each breed within that body type, so that you don't overstress them or overstretch their muscle or hurt their joints.
Because one of the biggest things that I see is that we want their body to move like ours does, and it does not. It is not designed to move like ours does. So while I can put my arm straight out and then bring it to the side and bring it up and bring it back, and I can do all these rotative movements, their bodies are not made to move that way. And so we have to honor the joint system that they have and how those joints and tendons work. And so when we're doing things like cutting nails and the dog is already freaking out, we need to take into consideration, is it an uncomfortable position? I know somebody out there that's listening to the show has had a pedicure before and had them move your foot in a way that is not, your foot just doesn't bend like that.
Or your hands. You're going to make you know your hands are going to be sore.
So it's like you've had people do services to you and you're like, ow, that hurts. Well, they can't say that. So we need to be educated on the body systems, anatomy, and physiology. You should have basic physiology.
Know where the muscle is. Know where all those things are. Plus, there's another added layer, if you're looking holistically at the animal. There's another added layer. What conditions do they have? Are they older? Are they arthritic? Are they malformed in their feet? Do they have flat pasterns? All those things matter in how you're going to move the dog. Is the dog very heavy? So you don't want to put a lot of pressure on the feet or pressure points as you move them or lay them down or switch them over. So that is part of looking at the whole animal instead of just, oh, we got to get this job done because I got to get another dog in the bath.
Yeah. Well, I know I recommend to my students, we have yoga mats or paw mats at the salon. And if it is a heavy dog or an elderly dog that or a dog that has hip issues or back issues, we put that on the table for them. Sometimes we'll stack two just to give them that extra cushion comfort because we're asking them to stand for a minimum of an hour. In the same spot. So those types of considerations, considering the joints, considering the dog's age, its size, its health conditions, all that falls under holistic.
Yes.
So when you're doing your intake, when you're on that initial phone call with that client, are you asking those questions? Are you asking what's the state of their health? What's the state of their, you know, their what are their needs?
And maybe they've had an injury at home playing. Maybe they just, you know, torqued their knee or whatever and have a slight limp or, you know, they played really hard at the beach or the lake the other day. So they could be sore.
Right. You know,
maybe a small, tiny little acupressure treatment or a little massage here and there on their pressure points would be really beneficial to them.
And those kind of things don't take away from your haircut. Don't take away from the aesthetics. You can be a holistic groomer and still do beautiful work. Mm-hmm. If the session allows for that, that is a huge part of the way that I teach my grooming students, is that see what the session allows for. If you're working on a senior dog and the owner comes in with a picture of a young dog, and it's like, I want my dog to look like this. My dog's 16, and he was 2 years old in this picture.
Right.
You know, well, he probably could stand for that hand-scissored haircut.
Mm-hmm. Today's not that day anymore.
Right. It's not that day anymore. And right. So we also have to be the advocate for that pet. We need to be able to speak up. And while we know our anatomy, we know our physiology, we are doing proper intake for that body. They can't advocate for themselves. Mm-hmm. So we need to advocate for them. We have to be able to say, I'm sorry, but today we couldn't get Fluffy's legs completely straight, or we couldn't get those feet beautifully clean like we used to. Unfortunately, you know, your dog is at a stage in its life where it's now a senior, and we're not able to manipulate its body and bone, you know, move its bones around like that, you know, to how we move and push those, splay those toes apart all the time.
Right. That could be extremely painful.
Yes.
Absolutely. Dogs are sensitive on their feet anyway.
Yep. So we have to advocate for that. We have to say, I know you prefer this, and I did it as, you know, as clean as we could possibly get it without causing too much discomfort or, you know, disruption of their comfort. Mm-hmm. And that has to be a priority. And the people that own those dogs and that hear that, and it sparks that back in their mind that, okay, I understand my dog is no longer a pup. You know, it's not middle-aged. Mm-hmm. It is a senior, elderly pet.
And sometimes that's super hard for somebody to hear.
Absolutely. So you need to be gentle with that, the wording, but you do need to advocate for that pet.
Mm-hmm, because definitely.
Mom and dad are not doing those things with them. They're not manipulating their feet around. They're not moving them in the ways that we are. So we need to speak up on the animal's behalf as well. Mm-hmm. And that's part of being a holistic groomer.
Mm-hmm. And definitely tell them if you're working on elderly dogs or sensitive dogs, the whole experience may tire them out. Make sure that they know that you're not drugging their dogs, but they could be very tired and sick for the rest of the day and just be very lethargic, because not only is the whole experience very stimulating, but when you actually work with a dog like that, if you're doing anything acupressure, if you're doing anything massage, you're actually moving the lymph fluids through the tissues. And that, after, if you've ever had a massage and you're done with your massage and you just feel wiped out, that's really what you're doing. You're getting all your tissues manipulated and moving the lymph fluid all through the body. And that tires you out. So they will be thirsty and they will feel like a nap for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And that's important to talk to your pet owners about those things and say these things to them so that they understand what the process is. Most pet owners have no idea what we do and how we do it.
Exactly.
And they don't need to know everything, but they do need to know, listen, you know, your pet has to stand for a long amount of time. Or we had a customer the other day that had a golden that was old, very elderly, could not really stand, had some cancerous lesions removed, large areas, and they keep the dog shaved because it continuously grows these lesions that they have to go back in and take off, yada, yada. Well, they had no idea how hard it is to shave a dog that cannot stand and to make, you know, like make it look at least decent. Mm-hmm. And while we don't advocate for shaving a coat like a golden retriever's, sometimes it is a necessary evil. And so we have to take into account why we're doing what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And I went up front to talk to the owner, and she said, you know, I never thought, I said, listen, Bunny was the dog's name. And I said, listen, you know, Bunny is, has advanced stage cancer. We know that. The owner told us that. Mm-hmm. And I said, and I know you guys are doing everything you can to keep her comfortable. And I said, but understand that her haircuts are going to get progressively less aesthetically pleasing. Mm-hmm. And so she started to laugh and she said, you mean they're not going to look good? And I said, yeah, exactly. I said,
they may not look as crisp as they used to.
Right. And that's what I said. I said, but I just want you to rest assured that Bunny is being taken care of in every possible way. So while we may not be able to get every hair off of that arm or shoulder or back of the neck or, you know, whatever, we're focusing on the important things like having someone hold her up so we can get to those sanitary areas. Mm-hmm. Make sure those things are cleaned up, like whatever it is. And she was so appreciative of that. Mm-hmm. And it made sense to her. Whereas if we just said, whoops, sorry, she's old and we could only do what we could do.
Mm-hmm. Which brings us into the next topic, actually, which is spirit.
Right.
Bringing joy to the dog. What do they like? What brings out the happy during the grooming experience? Building confidence and mutual respect. Dogs deserve respect, their body respect, not just moved around and pushed around and made to do whatever you need them to do to get your cash. They are a sentient being that is fully aware, has feelings and thoughts. We don't know what they are, but we know they have thoughts, some more than others.
They do exist, right.
They do exist, and you can form a beautiful, mutually respectful relationship with them for the duration of their life through grooming. And that makes it better for you and it makes it better for the dog. I know I don't want to cultivate relationships over the lifetime of a dog, which could be anywhere from 6 to 20 years, that we hate each other.
Right.
And that I just dread that dog coming in. You know, I don't want that. I want to love every single one that I take care of. So what does bring joy to that dog? Does he need to get down and catch a ball just a couple of times between, you know, phases of the grooming? Would he prefer to stay in the kennel with a nice cuddly towel and only be brought out to gently do his grooming and then go right back in? Because some of them like that too. Some of them need to be cuddled on the table. Some of them need a little bit of discipline, as in teaching, not punishment,
right,
about, hey, you need to sit still so I can do this and I don't, you know, carve your eyeball out.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, it's all a matter of paying attention, I think. It's constructively looking around you, logically deciding what is best in that moment for that animal that's in front of you. It's paying attention. You have to pay attention to your surroundings. You have to be aware of what's happening so that you can give the best care possible to this being that is totally dependent on their safety, dependent on you to keep them safe.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely. And I think while we need to know about things like anatomy and physiology, we also need to have a basic understanding of skin and coat care. And so I think that not only falls under the body, but it also falls under how we're caring for that animal, you know. Mm-hmm. For most especially most groomers don't take into consideration that coat, the hair that lays on or comes out from the skin, is actually a tactile thing.
Oh yes, part of their nervous system,
right. Mm-hmm. And when I say this to groomers, it is usually a shocker. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't understand that. While our hair is also the same, it is not to the degree that an animal's is. Mm-hmm. So when we are handling that dog, when we are doing things like back brushing or just combing or mindlessly talking and just petting and rubbing or scratching or whatever, every touch sends a message to their nervous system and then is tried to be deciphered by the brain.
Mm-hmm.
how is this touch, you know, going to be, you know, interpreted by the body? Mm-hmm. And so that in turn affects the spirit. Mm-hmm. So when we are doing things and the dog keeps turning and turning and turning, which is usually an avoidance technique for a dog, or an appeasement signal, they call them. And we grab the loop and we pull the dog back, which is such a common groomer, you know, even if you don't do it hard, you're still doing it. It's mm-hmm. a redirect, and it's something that we don't often think about. That is also something that you are sending a message to their spirit. Right. You are sending a message to them that I am sending you all these mixed signals. Mm-hmm. I'm cuddling you on the table in 1 minute. The next minute, I'm squeezing you backwards upside down to get these toenails clipped.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me, too, of if you look at commercials that have dogs in them, you can tell the actors don't interact with dogs. You can tell by the yeah. way they're petting them. It's mindless. It's right. not a mindful smoothing of the hair,
yeah, right.
following the eye ridges or following the natural curve of the ears. They're just like, like they got socks on their hands and just like, it's yeah. not mindful, you know, or it's too fast and the dog's already hyped up and you can tell that dog's nervous. That dog's not happy.
Right.
So it always reminds me of those commercials, you yeah. know.
And it is, and it's very true that our hands are not only receivers of energy, but they're givers of energy. And so when we are putting hands on that animal, we need to be aware of what we are A, transferring, or B, what we are picking up from them. So mm-hmm. in that mindful practice, if this dog is, you know, highly anxious and scared to death of the grooming process, and we're flipping it around like a hot cake on a Sunday griddle,
hot cake.
It is seriously. I've watched groomers all day long, and they're just a lot of them. You get into your routine,
and yeah, that. You do.
And it takes all the consideration of that being a sentient being out of the equation. Mm-hmm. And it just makes it down to timing. Mm-hmm. And so you can have a bath and you could do like we have 30-minute bath and brushes for small dogs that mm-hmm. just come in and they just get a 30-minute bath brush. Obviously smooth coated breeds mm-hmm. and short tight coated breeds, but in that 30 minutes, I teach my students, you could do a beautiful massage in that tub.
Yeah.
You know, you can still have enough time to dry your dog. And when you're towel drying, use the towel to massage with.
Mm-hmm.
Use your time wisely to affect all three centers, body, mind, and spirit.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Instead of making it a completely egocentric,
well, it's efficient. It's yeah. efficient. That's what I call an efficient groomer. One who is not mindful, very skilled, very talented in their craft, but not mindful. They're just efficient. And sometimes that just doesn't make that connection that animal is needing from you.
I always say, this is not about me. This is about you. Well, I I'm strange and I have conversations with the animals. So, mm-hmm. And I've been laughed out of more than one Facebook group for mm-hmm. such conversations. Fair. But I do. I ask permission. I talk to them. I don't have to talk to them audibly, energetically. I'm telling them, listen, you know, I'm going to come down here and lift up your tail and check and see if anything is stuck back there or do anal glands or, you know, whatever it is. It
needs to be done.
yeah. But I am emitting that in a compassionate manner. I'm changing up my energy from being efficient mm-hmm. and making it about me, making it about what I have to do in this moment to I'm doing this for you. And I've said this before in multiple different classes that I teach that I feel as a holistic groomer, it is our job. And it is also should be our mission mm-hmm. to be able to approach that animal with compassion and with an understanding that not everything that I have to do has to get done.
Right.
Just because it's on the card doesn't mean, or for those of you that don't use cards anymore and use a computer, if it's in the computer, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to get done that day if the dog is not capable of handling that in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
There's always
you have to understand, and I always relate to the client, this is something that's going to go on for the lifetime of the pet.
Right.
It isn't just a one-off, done-off.
Yes.
There's a relationship that needs to be cultivated there. Just like if you find your favorite nail tech or your favorite beautician or your favorite chiropractor or doctor, anything that you use for your health, it's like that. You want a relationship with those people who know you that intimately. You don't want to just go to a different doctor every single time. You don't want to go to a different nail tech every single time when you know they're not even going to put any rhinestones on you. And who wants that?
Exactly, not me.
I need at least one rhinestone. Something. Don't try to get away with painting on some just some glitter nail polish and thinking that's shiny enough, because I'm here to tell you it's not.
That's right.
So yeah, absolutely. And lastly, right before we go, we just have a few more minutes. I want to talk about products, not individual products, just products in general.
Choices.
Yes. Having a product that is hypoallergenic is not holistic. It has nothing to do with it. It's a completely separate term. Choosing your products holistically would be absolutely mindful of the environment, the sensitivity of the dog nose, the harshness of the surfactant, and all those things do play into a holistic mindset. But there is no holistic shampoo.
No.
Or holistic conditioner. Those are misnomers. They just don't match. They don't match. That's the wrong context in which to use the word holistic. Holistic means the whole experience, the whole animal, the whole deal, and not just one thing or another. Products should be as non-lethal as possible. They should be either fragrance-free or very soft to the dog's nose, so they're not overpowering. And I realize that there are some owners who want their animals to smell like some kind of a smelly smell, smelly Sally. I would recommend you put those things on a bandana, a collar, something, a harness, or maybe even just the handle of the leash sometimes, because that's what the owner is smelling. Instead of subjecting that dog to just an onslaught of odor and scent for a long period of time until it wears off. If you clean very deeply, you're going to have to condition and mineralize very deeply as well. More deeply you clean, the deeper you go into the skin, the more you're going to spend on oils, minerals, and conditioners to replenish what you took away.
Right.
And you have to realize 99.999% of the dogs that you do in a salon environment, you're only cleaning just the top microscopic layer of the dirt off. You're not trying to clean out the follicle. The follicle pushes oil out of the follicle. And as long as there's no comedo there or some kind of obstruction, it's going to continue to be a self-cleaning mechanism. So there's no reason to get in there all deep and clean out the follicle all the way to the brainstem. Like, you don't need to do that. You don't need it. It's about gently keeping homeostasis, keeping everything in balance, gently over a period of time, nothing invasive, quick. We want to get that out of our head when we're talking about a holistic shampooing and conditioning experience.
Yeah, I think it's important to be informed of the products that you're choosing and knowing what the contents of those products is and what putting them together, what that does to the skin and coat and to yourself as well as a groomer, because we wear it. We not only get it on our hands, we get it everywhere. So it's important to try to use the gentlest possible set of ingredients. I always advocate for transparency and product ingredients. And I don't like to use products that do not disclose what, you know, what their proprietary blend is. Mm-hmm. I think that that's not fair, because that proprietary blend could be something that could, which we found in later years now, that can be detrimental to the animals and to the groomers.
Yeah, I want to do a shout out to Kirsten Reynolds. She has a Facebook group called Shampoos in the Grooming Industry. She has made it her mission to make a list of all of the manufacturers who list their actual ingredient deck on, either on the bottle, on the website, or on request.
Right.
And a list of people who do not. Now, I who am I to tell you what shampoo to buy? I really am no one. You need to make that decision as a professional.
And sometimes you need more than one shampoo for depending on what dogs you're grooming.
However, I am going to say that we cannot force manufacturers to put the ingredients on their bottles if we don't say anything.
Right.
So we vote with our dollars. Find a shampoo and a conditioner and products that are transparent about what's inside the bottle, and spend your money there, because at least you know what you're getting. If right. if the ingredients or the surfactants are proprietary, the fragrance, which is one of the most allergenic things that you that are in bottles nowadays, the allergens are fragrance based, and they won't tell you what it even is. I personally, in my opinion, I would just not buy something that didn't have a full ingredient disclosure on it in some form. I think that's important, because our hands, our skin is exposed to it 8 or 10 times more than the dog on a daily basis. And they won't only come in once a month, once every 6 weeks or whatever. We're in it however many dogs we do a day. That's how many times we're exposed to that shampoo. I have known colleagues to use the same ear cleaner for 14 years and then become so deathly allergic to it that they can't even groom anymore. So, I mean, you become desensitized over a period of time, or they build up your, the allergens in your body build up to a point where your immune system can't take it anymore. And then you have a flare up. At the very least, find out what's in the bottles that you're using, and putting against your skin as well as the dog's skin.
It's just important to be mindful in all things. That's what holistic is.
Yes.
It's being mindful in all aspects of your practice. Because if I had a groomer ask me one time, why do you say you have a practice? Because that's what we
practice every day.
So, but it is. It is a practice. So, continue to practice mindfulness.
I agree.
Follow the holistic principles.
I'll take a sip to that.
Oh, me too. Cheers to that.
We love talking to you. Thank you for coming and visiting us. And we'll see you next time. And may your next sip be just as delicious and prosperous as your last.
Absolutely.
We'll see you soon.
Bye, everybody.